Hello, this is Father Schnuller Mansour. Welcome to Coptic Voice Radio, proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese in the affiliate regions. And this afternoon, we have a very special program. Today, we'll be talking about the will of God. What is the will of God? How does the will of God affect our lives? And how the will of God, you know, moves our lives? And I have a special person who will be talking with us about it today. Thomas. Yes, Thomas is a university student, and none of that, by the way, he's very deep in his theology and his simple theology as well. So we'll be having it through today's gospel. We're looking at John chapter 5, and this week in the Orthodox calendar is the fifth Sunday of the Great Lent, and we're having also the Desert Fathers and Did You Know. Always love Did You Know segment, because gives the expression, shows us how much we don't know. And after a short break, we're going straight into the Gospel of John chapter 5 from verses 1 to verse 18.
How do I say goodbye to what we have? The good time that made us laugh, I'll wake them back. I thought we'd get to see forever, but forever's gone away. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
I don't know where the road is going to lead. All I know,
and I'll take with me the memories to be my sunshine after the rain. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. And I'll take
now we're ready for our gospel reflection. John chapter 5 from verse 1 to verse 18. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, "Who was cured? It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered then, "Who? He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Glory be God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the one God, now forevermore. Amen. This is the great miracle of Bethsaida. A man for 38 years waiting for Jesus to come at this pool in order for the water to be stirred. And not only that, every time that water stirred, I wonder how many times he saw that water stirred. And secondly, how did he knew when the water stirred, the first person who ever walked into that water was made whole, was healed, whatever disease he or she may have had. But Jesus knew him, saw him, and approached him. "Do you want to be made well?" The man said to him, "Sir, I have no one to help me when that water stirred." Jesus said to him, "Get up, rise, take up your bed and walk." And the man, he responded, which meant that he had the willing heart. My friend, we wait for the stirring of the water. We await and we have a vigil around the pool of Bethsaida. But Jesus says to you, "Take up your bed, man, and walk. Go your home. Go your way. You are healed." At times, with a sick child, a sick wife, a sick husband, a sick parent, a sick relative, a sick friend, we are around the pool of Bethsaida praying for our friend. And knowing that the Lord hears your prayer, the Lord hears and blesses your prayer because he loves you. Our heart at times is heavy. We are burdened with this world, but the Lord God will lift up a burden. For he said, "Come to me, all you heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. It is light." "I love you," he says. "I care for you," he says, "and I'll care for you." Thomas, What reflection on this?
Oh, Father, just like the pool was stirred, I believe that for us to allow Jesus to enter into our lives, our hearts must be stirred.
Oh, I love it, man.
And we have to have the strong faith that God will heal us from any of our sins and illnesses. And this all comes back to faith, but also works, because he was there at the pool. So he tried constantly to get into the pool, but he couldn't. So for us to try constantly to accept God and allow him to be in our hearts and in our midst, that's a very, very hard thing to do, especially in this day and age. But accepting Christ as we do, it allows us to be healed.
Peter, what reflection on this?
Father, when we look at these gospel reflections, I'm always amazed at the kind of miracles that Christ does, that he performs, and he does so really effortlessly. It didn't take, you know, all the preparation in the world. He was there, and it was God's will, so he performed that miracle. And, you know, of course, he is one with God, one of the triune God. And when we look at what happened, we see Christ didn't only just heal the man. He had a spiritual message for the man. When he saw the man later, he said, "Sin no more." He made sure that he said that to the man, because it's not just about healing your body. It's about, I showed you my authority and my power. And now I'm telling you for your salvation to sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. And that's not a threat. That's not to say, you know, you were sick and you were healed, and if you sin, you're going to be more sick and worse off. No, I think what he was trying to say there is, the worst thing that will come on him is death, and not physical death, but spiritual death. And to be in the absence of God, and to spend eternity needing and wanting and longing, and not having the ability to come close to God anymore. And that's the greatest gift that Christ gave this man, was an opportunity. And that's also something that the man, I think, would have realized. And the Pharisees, unfortunately, didn't realize. The Pharisees, all they saw was, hey, what's going on here? We don't have the power to heal those who have an infirmity. And this is our turf, and who's causing this ruckus? With no regard for whether it's a prophet or whether it's a holy man or whether it's God's power, all they were worried about clearly was their own authority and their own power over the people in their society. And they sought to even kill him for the reason that this was done on the Sabbath. Very clearly in the gospel it says that. So for them to want to kill a man because he did something on the Sabbath, and not taking into account the fact that they can't do it, and obviously there's a greater power than what they have, I think it's people on a mammoth power trip, and completely lost focus of spirituality and God and salvation altogether, and it became a social structure and a social thing for them, which is something we always have to be weary of. And that we also have to pray to God, please, God, don't let us fall into that, where we turn spirituality into a pattern or something that it wasn't meant to be. And that we always keep it true, and that we always keep you, God, as the focus. And that's what I got out of this reflection, Father.
Thank you, Peter. And after a short break, we shall continue on a program and talk about the will of God.
precious than you, more precious than you, the girl you are. Close to me, you're like my mother. Close to me, you're like my father. Close to me, you're like my sister. Close to me, you're like my brother. You are the only one, you're my everything. And for you, the song I sing.
Welcome back to Copter Voice Radio. This is Father Schnuller Mansell. With me I have Thomas. And Thomas is going to lead us this afternoon on the will of God. Thomas, tell us about the will of God.
Well, it's funny that you mention it, Father, because we did have this discussion on a Tuesday night after Coco's. For those who don't know what COCOS is, it's a homeless service that Father provides for the community of greater community of Sydney in Woolloomooloo. So Father, I was asking him, what is the will of God? And he gave me a simple answer, and it's make it simple and not overcomplicated. And we ourselves make it overcomplicated because we try to look for what is the will of God. So, in saying that, what is the will of God, Father?
I'm listening to every word you're saying, Thomas. I could see that you are making of a theologian.
Thanks, Father.
Now, tell us, why do you think simplicity is important with the will of God? Do you think God makes things complicated or provides things in simplicity?
No, I 100% agree. And simplicity is the key, because we should not look for the will of God, because the will of God is within us. And when we partake of the sacraments and we do His will, without us knowing, we are actually doing the will of God. We don't need to overcomplicate it by looking and searching and getting disappointed. And then, you know, all those things that, like, people do out of their humanity because of trying to look for the will of God.
Yeah. So we could say that the simplicity part of the equation is that when a person trusts in God, the Lord directs the paths of that person.
That is true, yes.
And that requires simplicity and meekness to accept what is happening.
Yep, very true.
For example, many students finished school last year and went to university. And a common question always, Thomas, is asked, is this the will of God for me to do this university course? Or to partake in a certain employment? Or partake in certain activity? If the university, let us say, the course came to you, one has to trust that it's the will of God, that God has directed you. You chose, you applied, and the response has happened. Or, for example, work. You know, there are many people who say have free employments, meaning free job applications, and all of a sudden, three acceptance, please come to interview, please come to interview, please come interview. And you go to the three interviews, but one only actually accepted you for employment, because after the interview, only one saw that you were more fitting to be working. So one has to trust in God, the will of God, that that job is for you. Yep. And that's just the part of simplicity.
Yes, yeah, very right. And I think I'd add to that and say humility is a big part of the will of God, because it's not just trusting in Him, it's accepting what He's given to you. So, like, sometimes people will be like, they've given something and this is like something that they don't want, so they don't accept it, and so they say, this is not the will of God for me. But in return, it could be something more about like flourishing and successful than what they wanted. And we always look at our own will rather than the will of God. So humility is another key to that.
Now tell me, Thomas, what happens when complication starts in a person's mind?
Well, we start to overthink what is the will of God for us. So when we overthink it, we are sent to just insanity, if I can put
we
it.
When we overdo it.
Yeah, when we overdo it.
We overdo it. Yeah. In other words, we overdo it.
Yeah.
So it becomes from a simple dimension to a multi-dimension.
Yes, that's true.
What we call a bi-dimensional horizon or platform that becomes too complicated. Then you start to ask the question, why? And God wants to tell us, why do you do this? Why you complicate things? St. Antigrade one day asked God, look, God, why are all these things happening? Saint Anthony heard God tell him, Anthony, one thing I ask you, just focus on your spiritual life. Focus on your life. Leave these other problems to me.
Hmm.
And sometimes, in simplicity, we need to accept this, place him between the hands of God, place them on the altar of the Lord, let him deal with it.
That's correct, yeah.
Because these are the complex part of our lives. And sometimes we've got to break it down. If we've got a big project, what do? We break it down into small parts that we can understand it.
That's correct. Yes, well, I totally agree. And if I can make my last comment, I'd also say, seek him first and all will be added to you. So it's not we're seeking the other things, and then we worry about our relationship with God later. It's seeking our relationship with God at first, foremost.
Awesome stuff. I love that. You know, this is the passage of the Gospel of Matthew. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What a way to end this segment up, Thomas. Awesome.
Thanks, Father.
And after this short break, we shall continue our program of this Saturday afternoon.
A phonograph. I was a kid. I sat with an ear close, just listening. I was there when the rain tapped away down your face. You were a miracle. I was just holding your space. World time has a way of throwing it all in your face. Past she is haunted, the future is laced. Heartbreak, you know, drives a big black car. I swear I was in the backseat, just minding my own. Through the glass, the corn crows come like rain. They won't stay. They won't stay for too long now. This could be all that we know of love and all. Well, you were a dancer and I was a rag. The song in my head was all that I had. Hope was a letter I never could send. Well, love was a country we couldn't defend. Through the carnival, we watched them go round and round. All we knew of home. Clowns, oh, well, you were a magazine, I was a plain Jane, just walking the sidewalks covered in rain. Love to just get into some of your stories, me and all my plain Jane glory. Just me and all.
And welcome back. This is Thomas this time.
I'm really glad that you're actually introducing this afternoon segment, Thomas.
Thanks, Father. I just just in that break, Peter challenged me to that a heated debate between what is the will of God and how do we know this. So, Peter, I'd like your views on what I said previously.
Look, it's, you know, you made some very fair statements and some great statements, and so did Father as well. Not everything am I completely comfortable with, however. The fact that we need to be simple and not overthink things is absolutely true. But some of the examples weren't ideal, I think. And some of the ideas weren't really ideal. Like, for example, we said if you apply for 3 jobs and you do all 3 interviews and you get 1 interview, that could be a sign that God is opening a door for you and that's God's will. This is true. I like that. But I also don't like it, because what if I was offered 2 jobs? Then where is God and why is he trying to confuse me? And cannot the devil influence the situations that I'm in? So I think it's even simpler to go, hey, God doesn't always will everything for me. God allows me to make my own decisions. And his will is for my salvation and the salvation of everyone around me. So if I'm a true Christian and I behave like a Christian and I give a good example to those around me as a Christian, then wherever I am performing God's will, whether it's at this job or the other job or the other job. If God's going to tell me what my career is and he's going to tell me where my work is, the next step, he's going to tell me which brand of toilet paper should I pray about, you know, so that I can buy the right one that God wants me to have. And I think there's not necessarily the right thing, because then you're focusing on all this worldly stuff and saying, what's God's will? Whereas God's will couldn't be further from the worldly things. It's actually about your salvation. When I pray, God, you know, I'd love to have a red Ferrari, I'm praying for a worldly thing. God might answer my prayer and say, you know, yeah, you deserve it because, you know, you're a good man and whatever, and here it is. Or he might not give it to me because he's worried about me showing off and falling into pride and, you know, having the attention of, you know, many females and me being tempted and this and that and the other. So God's will is not that I have a Ferrari or a Hyundai. God's will is that my salvation is preserved. And if he gives me a job that's not fantastic and doesn't pay a lot, maybe it's so that I can stay humble.
Can I just stop you there, Peter?
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. However, it's the trust, like Father was saying, that we trust in God in everything that he gives us.
Yeah.
Regardless of what material. It's not, when he was saying that, I think the message that I took out of that was that the trust, the key was trust and humility. Mm-hmm. Not asking for something that, you know, that's too much for us or that we over pride ourselves. It is about our salvation 100%, but it's also about trusting in God, because we as humans desire to be with God, and also that we as humans we need things in our life.
Yeah.
A job, for example. Okay. So if you did get that hypothetical 2 jobs, it's the trust. You have the free will to choose, and that's what God's given you. And there's also the trust in God that whatever you do will be successful because of his blessings and his grace.
That's the thing exactly. So whichever of the 3 jobs, I can perform God's correct, will, yes, wherever I end up. And that's what my point was, is that God has a will for us, and it's not necessarily to control everything that we do or interfere in everything and every small decision. So when we seek God's will continually for petty things, we're actually wasting our time and our prayers, because we need to pray for what's important, and that's for our salvation, and we need to behave like Christians and be faithful Christians. And then in so doing, God will bless our endeavors.
Yes.
As is written in, I believe it's the first book of Joshua, and in the first Psalm as well. If you meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, you will be prosperous in everything that you do. And it makes sense that if we immerse ourselves in the faith and in Christianity, then whatever we do will be a transcendence. The will of God will transcend through our actions because we're following God's commands. So God's will is not for me to do this uni degree, get that particular job, and drive this particular car, and marry that particular person. But the will of God is for me to follow the word of God for my salvation, and everything will come into line. And if God has a specific thing that he does want for us, rather than me going crazy and trying to search for it, allow it to happen. And have always in my mind that whatever happens, I'm going to be a Christian, and I'm going to be a strong Christian, full of faith, full of fervor, full of zeal.
I just wanted to quickly spruce this up a bit.
Even now, more.
Yeah. And just quickly.
It's not Jerry Springer, you know.
No. What if, say, something, a tribulation occurs in our life?
Yes.
Then saying that, how do we know that was part of, because of a decision that we've made in our life? So I'll give you an example. Say we enter a job, and going back on the job, obviously, we enter the job and it's difficult and we're not happy and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the tribulation. Do we then say that wasn't the will of God, or do we say that was the will of God, and where do we go from there?
Okay, so I think even looking at it that way is not a helpful way to look at it.
That's
to
exactly kind of my assess point.
Yeah, to assess whether or not it was the will of God that I took this job. No.
Because we're overcomplicating it.
Yeah, you should say is, what would God will for me to do from here? Would it be to be a Christian example in my workplace and try to change the culture? Or would it be to find another job so that I'm not coming home cranky and giving my family a hard time?
That's correct.
You would then try and do what you think is the best thing that you can do, and that's performing the will of God, not searching for all the answers and being the master of the universe. We're not going to know everything.
Yep.
And we're not going to know the will of God other than that
seeking
the will of God
his word.
Yeah, is seeking his word, and ultimately is for everyone's salvation.
That's true. And I agree 110%.
And it's that I should have a Ferrari.
Definitely. What do you think, Father?
I have no desire to have a Ferrari.
All right. Fair enough.
We'll just pass it my way.
No desire to have a Ferrari whatsoever. And after a short break, we shall continue in our program on the Desert Fathers.
Because I'm happy.
And now it's time for the Desert Fathers. The Paradise of the Holy Fathers, Volume 2, translated by E.A. Wallace Budge. The brethren were once gathered with Abba Joseph. As they were sitting and asking him questions about their thoughts, he said to them, by way of affording them consolation, this day I am a king, for I have controlled my passions. An old man asked Abba Sisois, saying, did Satan persecute the men of old times as he does today? Sisois said to them, he persecutes the men of this age especially, because his time has come. Ava Perman used to say, Everything which arises through passion is a sin. He used to say also, every exercise of power which is for God's sake is thanksgiving. Abba Perman used to say, as smoke drives bees away, and men take the sweetness of their labor, even so also does the ease of the body drive away the fear of God from the heart, and it carries away all the good effects of its labor. A certain monk used to live in a cave in the desert, and a message was sent to him by his kinsfolk, saying, "Your father is grievously sick and is near to die. Therefore come and inherit his possessions." And he made an answer to them, saying, "I died to the world long before he will die, and a dead man cannot be the heir of a living one." They say about a certain monk that when his food came to him, he was in the habit of taking so much of it as he needed, but that if it happened that another man was brought to him, he would not accept any of it, saying, "It is sufficient for me. Behold, my Lord has fed me." On one occasion, a certain bishop came to the fathers in Scetis, and a brother went forth to meet him, and having met them, he took him and brought him into his cell, and having set before him bread and salt, he said, "Forgive me, O my father, for I have nothing else to set before you." And the bishop said to him, "I wish that when I come another year, I may not find even bread and salt in your cell." One of the old men said, "If you sit in a place and see people with abundant provisions, look not at them, but if there be a man who is destitute, look at him as one who has no bread, and you shall find relief." Now it's time for the Did You Know segment.
Did you know that God desires a simple heart?
Did you know that it is God's will that all of us are saved?
Did you know the man at the pool of Bethsaida waited 38 years for the moving of the water, but Jesus asked him, get up and walk.
Did you know that Jesus has authority and power over the physical world?
Did you know that Jesus, through his miracles, shows us his love for humanity?
Did you know that God's greatest miracle is you, his creation?
Did you know that this week was the fifth Sunday of the Great Lent?
And did you know that you've been listening to Coptic Voice Radio, a program proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of Sydney and its affiliated regions, and proudly sponsored by the Coptic Media Association Sydney. If you wish to write to us, you can do so at CopticVoiceRadio@gmail.com. Or you can write to us if you want to private message us on Facebook. It'll be at facebook.com/Coptic Voice Radio. You'll also find links to our podcasts on that Facebook site. You can also download our podcasts from the podcast app for iPhone and Apple devices, the podcast app on BlackBerry devices, or Stitcher, the podcast app for Android devices.
And now it's time for us to say goodbye for another week. I hope you enjoyed this afternoon's program on the will of God. May God bless you. May God keep you. Have a GW, a great weekend. On Monday morning, have a great week. God bless.
May the love of God, the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.